I was thinking about Brother Lay's message this morning, and there are going to be parts of my message tonight. You're going to think that he and I sat down and got together and decided that we're going to make sure we emphasize these points. Trust me, that is not the case. We're just blessed that we sit at the seat of the same teacher. Praise God. Cindy, I have more copies if you need some, sweetie. Okay. No. Love me some free. And just to be clear, the title of the message tonight is What's Wrong with Christianity? And if you would notice, there's not a question mark. So I'm not asking a question of what's wrong with Christianity. I'm going to tell you what's wrong with it. Okay? Okay? And we're going to begin in 1 Timothy chapter 2. And it'll all become clear as we go through the scriptures. In 1 Timothy chapter 2, we're going to look at verse 5. Verse 5 says, was I going to get to 1 Timothy instead of 2 Timothy? I'll get there. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 5 says, for there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. Everything that I'm going to talk about tonight is predicated on one thing, that you believe what this book says. Because if you don't believe what this book says, then you're not going to agree heartily with anything I'm going to say tonight. Okay? But the Bible says that there is one God. Now, but Brother Barry, we all know there's one God, and the Muslims say there is one God, the Jews say there is one God. The Buddhist says there is one God. So we know there is one God. But see, you have to read the whole thing. It says, for there is one God and what? One mediator between God and man, Jesus Christ. One mediator, okay? Make sure I get this right, because I'm always looking. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Jesus Christ. So that lets you know that the Bible is being very specific about the one God. The one God this Bible is talking about has a son, and his name is Jesus Christ. And that son that this one God has, he is the mediator between himself and us. It's because of what this one God did with his son that we are now part of the family. Okay? So the Bible says there's one God. And that one God is not Muslim. That one God is not Jewish. That one God is not Buddhist. That one God is the Father of Jesus Christ. Okay? We're going somewhere. Trust me. Look in Acts chapter 4. In Acts chapter 4, we're going to begin reading in verse 7. In Acts chapter 4, verse 7, it says, yes. And when they had set them, it's the religious leaders who are upset with Peter. And when they had set them in the midst of In the midst, they asked, by what power or by what name have you done this? Then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, ye rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day be examined of the good deed done to the impotent man or the helpless man, by what means he is made whole, be it known unto you. Let me make this perfectly clear. unto you all, and to all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom ye crucified. Peter didn't mince words, ladies and gentlemen. He told the religious leader, you crucified him. You crucified him. How many in the body of Christ aren't even just willing to stand up and say, I love Jesus? And here Peter's saying, you crucified him. He didn't mince any words. He didn't sugarcoat it. You crucified him. And I just love it when the Bible says, be it known unto you, says, let me make this perfectly clear. That's how Barry sees it. Whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole. This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which is become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other. Do you see this? Neither is there salvation in any other. The Bible says you can be a Muslim, you can be a Jew, you can be whatever you want to be. But if you don't confess Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you are not going to heaven. Do you see this? Okay, one more. Well, really, two more. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6 says, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. To please who? To please God. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. So can we please God without faith? No. No. That's what the Bible says. If you don't have faith, you cannot please God. Okay? Look at James chapter 1, look at verse 13. Chapter 1, verse 13. And it says, let no man say when he is tempted that I am tempted of God, for God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempted he any man with evil. What does that mean? If you're in a car accident, it's not God trying to teach you a lesson. Okay? It's not God trying to teach you a lesson. If you get some kind of disease, it's not God trying to teach you a lesson. Magic Johnson, 1991. Said that God gave him AIDS to teach him a lesson about cheating on his wife. He said that in a press conference. God didn't give him AIDS as a punishment for cheating on his wife. He got AIDS because he cheated on his wife. That's why he got it. God didn't say, okay, you're going to get it, you're going to get it, you're going to get it. Uh-uh. Because he said in that press conference, at every city I went to, there was a woman waiting for me. Every city. And he was married. So, and you're going to tell me God is punishing him because there was a woman waiting for him at every city and he chose to be with her? God does not tempt us with evil, ladies and gentlemen. Look at verse 17 of chapter 1. It says, every good gift, every perfect gift comes from where? From above. Is that not what the Bible says? Okay. A lot of Christians, a lot of people who call themselves Christians would disagree with what we have just read. They would disagree with it, ladies and gentlemen. A lot of Christians would disagree. So, what's wrong with Christianity? The first one, Christianity teaches absolutes. Christianity teaches absolutes. The body of Christ, the majority of us do not live in absolutes. We don't. We don't live in absolutes because there's too much darkness still in. Well, rewind that, Barry. There is too much flesh in our lives. Too much flesh. And we don't live in absolutes. So what's wrong with Christianity? Christianity teaches you live in absolutes. That's what's wrong with Christianity for Christians, ladies and gentlemen. I'm not even talking about for the man and woman who don't know him. I'm talking about for Christians. Christianity is a problem. Notice I didn't say what's wrong with Christians. I The point I made, what's wrong with Christianity? It's because many people who call themselves Christians do not live by the absolutes presented in the Bible. Okay? Turn with me to 2 Peter chapter 1. In 2 Peter chapter 1, look at verse 16. Well, Barry, you're in 1 Peter. That's why it didn't look right. Thank you, Brother Lake. 2 Peter chapter 1, look at verse 16. And it says, "For we have not followed cunning devised fables when we were made known unto you, when we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For we received from God the Father honor and glory. For he received from God the Father honor and glory when there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory." Talking about when he was on the Mount of Transfiguration. "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. And this voice which came from heaven we heard when we were with him on the holy mount. We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto you do well that ye take heed, as unto a light that shines in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts." Verse 20. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in the old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. How did we get the Bible, ladies and gentlemen? Holy men of God sat at the feet of the teacher and dictated what he gave them. That's how we got the Bible. Okay? Remember, I've already talked about how what's wrong with Christianity, right? Do you know that there are, I know this is going to surprise you, it's going to shock you, that there are Christians who actually don't believe that the Bible is directly from God? Do you know there's some Christians, some brothers and sisters, some members of our family who believe that men actually sat down and wrote the Bible? Really? What's wrong with Christianity? God. Oh, I love this stuff. Holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. Go to 2 Timothy chapter 3. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, we're going to read verses 16 and 17. What I want you to do for me is I'm going to read verses 16 and 17 from the Amplified. And I want you to follow along in the version you're reading, in King James or New King James or whatever you have. Okay? Verse 16 of 2 Timothy chapter 3. "Every scripture is God-breathed, given by his inspiration." And didn't we just say that? Holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. "Every scripture is God-breathed, given by his inspiration, and profitable for instruction, for reproof and conviction of sin, for correction of error and discipline in obedience, and for training in righteousness, in holy living, in conformity to God's will in thought, purpose, and action, so that the man of God may be complete and proficient." Man and woman, okay? "Of God may be complete and proficient, well-fitted and thoroughly equipped for every good work." This is what this book says about itself. Okay? Go back a chapter. Chapter 2, verse 15. It says, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman." It means you've got to put forth some effort. You just can't get up and read your daily devotional and think you have studied the word. You got to put in some effort. You got to act like you're in school. God. Lord wants to go somewhere tonight. Let's follow. You know what's wrong with Christianity, ladies and gentlemen? Christianity teaches the Bible is the standard, the only standard for living. That's what's wrong with Christianity. It teaches that the Bible is the only standard for living. And you have Christians, because, listen, everything I say tonight has nothing to do with the lost. I'm talking to family, okay? I'm talking to family. You have Christians who don't believe that this is the standard, who don't believe that this is God-breathed, who don't believe that this is the very life and breath from God. Why? Go back to number one. They don't like absolutes. They don't like absolutes. Every time you combine two parts hydrogen with one part oxygen, what do you get? Water. Is that an absolute? Does anyone in this room have a problem with that? Nobody has a problem with that, do you? No. But as soon as you tell me that God says that there is only one God, and there was a mediator between God and man. God and man is the man Jesus Christ. You have a problem with that because you want to say that there are other roads to heaven other than God, through Jesus Christ. They're all roads leads to Chicago. That's fine if you want to go to Chicago. There's only one road that leads to heaven, and you can't get through it any other way than by going through Jesus Christ. Okay? Back to 1 Peter chapter 1. And again, I want you to read along with me. I'm going to read from the Amplified. There are some things in the Amplified that it really brings out, ladies and gentlemen, and that's why I'm bringing it out to you this morning, tonight. 1 Peter chapter 1, we're going to look at verse 13 through 16. And I'm going to read the Amplified as you follow along. So brace up your minds, be sober, circumspect, morally alert, set your hope wholly and unchangeably on the grace, the divine favor that is coming to you when Jesus Christ, the Messiah, is revealed. Live as children of obedience to God. Do not conform yourselves to the evil desires that governed, past tense, governed you in your former ignorance, when you did not know the requirements of the gospel. But as the one who called you is holy, you yourself also be holy in all your conduct and manner of living. For it is written, you shall be holy, for I am holy. What does the Bible say? You should be holy. You are holy because I am holy. Okay? You are holy because I am holy. That means that everything you do in life, ladies and gentlemen, if it does not reflect holiness, if it does not bring glory to your heavenly Father, if it does not make him smile, don't do it. Don't do it. Hey, my mom and dad made it very clear to Barry, don't you leave this house and go out and act like a fool, because you represent us. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, who do we represent? Do you see what I'm saying? But there's so many in the body of Christ, they don't care. They don't care. And the Bible, that's what's wrong with Christianity for them. It has a set of expectations that they don't want to follow. Okay? My mom and dad had a set of expectations I didn't want to follow sometimes. Can you say bring out the belt? And can you say Barry got the message? He followed. Okay? 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, it says, furthermore then, we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus Christ, by the Lord Jesus, that as you have received of us how you ought to walk, how you ought to live, how you ought to behave, how you ought to conduct yourself in life and to please God, so that ye would abound more and more. Jump down to verse 7. Brethren, for this reason, well, let me get to the right verse 7. For God has not called us into uncleanness. What has he called us to? Holiness. Holiness. Ladies and gentlemen, holiness is not what you do. Holiness is who you are. So if you're acting any other way than holiness, you are in sin. You need to fall on your knees and repent. Okay? What's wrong with Christianity? Christianity teaches living a holy lifestyle. Christianity teaches living a holy lifestyle. Okay? Jeremiah chapter 17. And I got three more of these that I'm going to read from the Amplified, and Jeremiah chapter 17 is one of them. And when I read this, it's going to be verses 5 through 8. Follow along with me. Jeremiah chapter 17, verses 5 through 8. When I read this, ladies and gentlemen, it was wow. I don't think we really appreciate sometimes what the Bible is telling us. I really don't. When you hear what the Amplified says on these verses, it's going to really show you some things. Thus saith the Lord, cursed with great evil is the strong man who trusts in and relies on frail man. The strong man, ladies and gentlemen, is us. Us. Those who are born again, who have the life and nature of God. We are the strong man. And God says we curse ourselves when we put our trust in the frail man, the man who is not born again, i.e. the government, i.e. anything other than God. See, when you're king, when you're a priest, you call the shots. You are the strong man. A king and a priest does not go to those, to his subjects, her subjects. Remember, king and priest, male and female, okay? That's what it means. We're talking about all of us. A king does not go to his subjects and ask for help. The king is the one who helps his subjects. Those who are under his rule. And see, the Bible says we are kings and priests. And I think sometimes that just goes right over our heads, ladies and gentlemen. Because, see, we want to be kings and priests the way the world defines king and priest. A king has this. A king has that. A king has a mansion, a castle, four or five Rolls Royces, bank accounts that no one has the last zero you can add to it. That's not a king in God's kingdom. A king in God's kingdom takes care of those he has responsibility for. And we are kings and priests in this world. So God's expectation is we're going to take care of those who need to be taken care of. Now I'm going to talk about those who don't have God's life and nature, the sin-natured person. God wants us as kings and priests to take care of them, bring them into the kingdom. That's what he wants. But we're so busy being a king and a priest and accumulating stuff, we don't care about you if you're going to hell. Bye. See ya. I'm not going with you, but bye. Very few of us in the body of Christ have God's heart. We don't have his heart. Because we see this world is as providing things for us. Okay? Thus says the Lord, cursed with great evil is the strong man who trusts in and relies on the frail man, making weak human flesh his arm. Make weak human flesh his arm. Notice it's the word flesh as opposed to spirit. Okay? And whose mind and heart turn aside from the Lord. For he shall be like a shrub or a person naked and destitute in the desert, and he shall not see any good come, but shall dwell in the parched places in the wilderness in an uninhabited salt land. This is the strong man who has put all his trust in man. Most blessed is the man who believes in, trusts in, and relies on the Lord, whose hope and confidence the Lord is. For he shall be like a tree planted by the waters that spread out its roots by the river. And it shall not see and fear when he comes, but its leaf shall be green. It shall not be anxious and full of care in the year of drought, nor shall it cease yielding fruit. We know Philippians 4:19 says, "For my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus." We know that. We know John chapter 5, verse 19, Jesus says, "I can of my own self do nothing. What I see my Father do, I do. What I hear my Father say, I repeat." He repeats the same thing essentially in John chapter 5, verse 30. Christianity teaches, ladies and gentlemen, total dependence upon the Lord. Christianity teaches total dependence upon the Lord. And most of the body of Christ, they are not there. You know where the body of Christ's dependence is more? If you go to this church, you know better. But for most of the body of Christ, their dependence is on the tithe. Because if I give my tithe, God is going to bless me. God is going to bless me. I like the example that Brother Lay gave this morning about how at offering time, his mom or dad would give him a quarter or two to give into the offering. My mom and dad did the same thing. I didn't have anything. So they gave me something so that I could give. Hello! Don't you think God does the same thing? If he can trust you with it. Oops. Oops. There are a lot of folks in the body of Christ that God cannot trust with money. If he could, they would not be living paycheck to paycheck. If he could, they would not be trying to make a decision, do I tithe this month or do I buy my groceries? If they really trusted and depended on God, there would never be an issue concerning money. Never. God has already promised to meet all your needs according to your bank account, hasn't he? No, and thank God. It's not about me. It's not about me. It's about what God can do. Okay? John chapter 3. Are we having fun yet? John chapter 3, look at verse 14. We're going to look at a passage of scripture you're very familiar with. I'm sorry, John chapter 3, not 13. I'm sorry. Did I say chapter 3? Thank you. Beginning with verse 14. John chapter 3, verse 14. It says, And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever shall believe in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. But God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is going to hell already. Like that? Yeah, you're condemned. You're going to hell already if you don't believe. Because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Now look at John chapter 14. We see here that if you don't believe on Jesus, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, if you don't believe that, hell is waiting for you. Do you realize, ladies and gentlemen, that what I have taught, I don't know how long I've been standing up here, I would be kicked out of most of the churches in this country. He's out of here. He's gone. We don't want to hear it. We want our ears tickled. We want you to tell us what we want to hear, and we will give you our money. For my God supplies all my need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Okay? John chapter 14, look at verse 6. It says, Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. What's wrong with Christianity, ladies and gentlemen? Christianity teaches Jesus is the only way to eternal life. He is the only way to eternal life. Look at Genesis chapter 6. I hope that tonight won't be the last night that you look at this piece of paper. But God, I really truly believe that if you take another look at it, pray in tongues, Father will open up even more things to you. In Genesis chapter 6, look at verse 5. And you're probably thinking, Barry, what does Genesis chapter 6, verse 5 have to do with Christianity? We'll get there. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Every imagination of his heart was only evil continually. Look at verse 21. And take thou unto thee of all the food. Verse 21, did I say? I don't know how I got verse 21. But that doesn't tell me what I wanted to see. Okay, we'll stick with verse 5, okay? It says, for God saw that every imagination of the thoughts of man's heart was evil continually. I was just making sure I couldn't find it, okay? So we see that the Bible says in Genesis that prior to the flood, God saw that every thought and every imagination of man's heart was evil continually. Okay? I have a question. Do you think that still happens today? Okay? We're on the same page. Okay? Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 10. And you know what I'm about to read. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. We're going to read verse 3. And we're going to read verse 5. Verse 3 says, For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. Verse 5, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Okay? What this tells us is that in Genesis, you had men whose every thought, every imagination of their heart was evil continually. Here in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, it tells us that we have the capability of taking every single thought that does not agree with God's word and bring it into subjection. The actual word, and I know that people don't like to hear this word, but it's in the Bible, ladies and gentlemen. We have the ability to take every thought and bring it into slavery and make a slave of it. Make it a slave to us, every single thought. Okay? Christianity teaches, ladies and gentlemen, the world's way of thinking is ungodly. Christianity teaches that the world's way of thinking is ungodly. Okay? You take the hot button issues that are out there today, abortion, same-sex unions. Please, let me say something. Let me say something. If you want to mention the subject of same-sex cohabitating, don't come to me and use the word marriage. Don't use that word. There is no such thing in the Bible as same-sex marriage. They are civil unions. Say it with me, civil unions. So same-sex unions. Because if you come to me and say same-sex marriage, I'm serious, ladies and gentlemen. And see, how the world thinks is ungodly, right? So the world says, the world has taken what is godly, marriage, and has made it ungodly by attaching it to an abomination. And so when they attach a word to an abomination, then that's ungodly thinking. And so many people in the body of Christ will just say same-sex marriage, not even thinking that there is no way in Scripture you can have same-sex marriage. Nothing. And yet, we will throw that term out like everybody else does. The Bible calls it ungodly thinking. So, are you going to think like the Bible, or are you going to think like the world? It's your choice. It's your choice. Are you going to think like the Bible, or are you going to think like the world? We know from Scripture that Jesus is our king, right? So are we going to agree with our king, or are we going to agree with the world? And when I say with the world, we are essentially agreeing with Satan. That's the only way to cut it. You can't slice it any other way. Okay? Romans chapter 1. I'm just going to tell you what the blank is right now, even before we get started. Christianity teaches homosexuality in all its forms is sin. Homosexuality, lesbian, gay, transgender, gender dysphoria, whatever you want to call it, the Bible says is sin. Now, see, you have a lot of ministers who won't stand in the pulpit and say what I just said. But my God shall supply all my need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. When you are free from man, you can teach what the Bible says. Okay? Romans chapter 1. But Brother Barry, they were born that way. I got news for you. I got news for you. If they were born that way, why would God go through the lengths he goes through in the Bible to call it sin? Call it sin. Because you were not born that way. Because if you were born that way, God would not call you a sin because you were born that way. You were a sinner because you were born that way. The man born blind, did God call him a sinner? No. No. The man at the gate called beautiful in Acts chapter 3, did God call him sin? No. God healed both of them. He healed both of them. Both examples, which tells me something else, ladies and gentlemen. Homosexuality is not something you can be healed of. You can be delivered. You can't be healed of it. You have to be delivered. And the only way to be delivered is to say, Jesus, I accept you as my Lord and Savior. I am new. I have a new life. I'm going to live a new way. You know what breaks my heart, and I know I'm belaboring this point? There are so many people in the homosexual community who are not going to accept Jesus Christ. The majority of them, ladies and gentlemen, are not going to make heaven. They are not. Because they have already drawn a line in the sand and said, this is who I am. And it's not because God doesn't want them. It's not because God is not reaching out to them. And it's not because God's heart doesn't ache for them. But they have made the decision that God already accepts me like I am. There is nothing in the Bible that God says he accepts us. Find it for me. Find it for me. There is nothing in the Bible that says God accepts us. Yep. I just got kicked out of some more churches. But my God shall supply all my need. First, in Romans chapter 1, we're going to read from the Amplified verses 24 through 27 and 32. Okay? Therefore, God gave them up in the lust of their own hearts to sexual impurity, to the dishonoring of their bodies among themselves, abandoning them to the degrading power of sin. Because they exchanged the truth of God. They exchanged the truth of God. In other words, they knew the truth of God. Do you hear me, ladies and gentlemen? It was not a secret. They know the truth. When we tell someone that homosexuality is wrong, we are giving them the truth, so they know the truth. But the Bible says they exchanged the truth of God for a lie and worshiped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. So be it. For this reason, God gave them over and abandoned them to vile affections and degrading passions. For their women changed their natural function for an unnatural and abnormal one. And the men also turned from natural relations with women and were set ablaze, burning out, consumed with lust one for another. Men committing shameful acts with men and suffering in their own bodies and personalities the inevitable consequences and penalty of their wrongdoing and going astray, which was their fitting tribute. Now jump down to verse 32. Though they are fully aware, remember my reading from the Amplified, though they are fully aware of God's righteous decree, do you hear me? They are not ignorant, ladies and gentlemen. I am telling you, every person who says that he or she is homosexual, they know what the Bible says. They know what the Bible says. They know what the Bible says. But what's important for them is more important than what the Bible says. Though they are fully aware of God's righteous decree that those who do such things deserve to die, they not only do them themselves, but approve and applaud others who practice them. Approve and applaud others who practice them. Isaiah chapter 5. Brother Barry, what does Isaiah chapter 5 have to do? You're going to see. Isaiah chapter 5, look at verse 20. Woe unto them that do what? Call evil good. Who say homosexuality is good, it's okay. Who say same-sex unions is good, it's okay. Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Woe unto them that are wise in their own eyes and prudent in their own sight. Do you see this? Ladies and gentlemen, when I read verse 20, I see people like me standing in the pulpit. I don't see people sitting in the pew saying this stuff. I see people standing in the pulpit saying this stuff. That good is evil, evil is good. Because if you have people who are not willing to stand up and call sin, sin. They're saying evil is good and good is evil. That's on us, those of us who stand in the pulpit and deliver the word. Now you know why James says that those of us who deliver the word, we are held to a higher standard. God holds us accountable. Every word that I have spoken tonight, God holds me accountable. He holds me accountable. Okay? We're going to read 2 Timothy chapter 3. And this is the last amplified version we're going to read. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 through 4. This note, it says, but understand this, that in the last days will come set in perilous times of great stress and trouble, hard to deal with and hard to hear. For people will be lovers of self and utterly self-centered, lovers of money and aroused by an inordinate greedy desire for wealth, proud and arrogant and contemptuous boasters. They will be abusive, blasphemous, scoffing, disobedient to parents, ungrateful, unholy, profane. They will be without natural human affection, callous and inhumane, relentless, admitting of no truth or appeasement. Are we not seeing this today when it comes to the issue of homosexuality? And I know I keep hammering on that, but that's what we're seeing. They're saying you're going to accept us the way we are. You have no choice. Ladies and gentlemen, the Bible says that Barry has an obligation. The word is used. It says the word ought, and it means obligation, a debt. Barry has a debt to pay every single person on this world, in this earth, to love that person. That's what the Bible says. You ought to love one another. That's the debt you owe by being a child of God. You love that person. I don't have to accept you and what you're doing in your behavior, but by God, I have to love you. And loving you does not mean I'm in your face screaming and saying you're going to hell and there's no hope for you. No. Loving you says what the Bible says, ladies and gentlemen. And see, so many Christians got it all wrong. They want to hold the person in sin up to a standard they are not even living. It's like the Pharisees. You find one person, you convert them, and you make them worse than you. And so many Christians, they want to make people worse than what they are. You can tell I get angry when I see someone trying to say, this is how you should be living, and then I know how you are living. And you're going to tell that person that you should be doing this, and you're not even doing it? Come on, give me a break. Brother Barry, are you done yet? Close. For people will be lovers of self and utterly self-centered. I read all that. They will be abusive, blasphemous, scoffing, disobedient to parents, ungrateful, unholy, and profane. They will be without natural human affections, callous and inhumane, relentless, admitting of no truth or appeasement. They will be slanderers, false accusers, troublemakers, intemperate, and loose in morals and conduct, uncontrolled and fierce, haters of good. They will be treacherous, betrayers, rash, and inflated with self-conceit. They will be lovers of sensual pleasures and vain amusements more than and rather than lovers of God. I have in my Bible, and you can see my orange. See my orange? In the King James side, I said, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. That's where we are. That is where we are. Homosexuality and all its forms of sin. The last one, ladies and gentlemen, Matthew chapter 3, verse 2. And I'm only going to read the first two. and then you can read the other when you get home. But because Matthew chapter 2, verse chapter 3, verse 2 and 4, verse 17 should be enough to make my point. First, chapter 3, verse 1, it says, "In those days came John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, 'Repent.'" Say it with me. "Repent, ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." Matthew chapter 4, verse 17. "From that time Jesus began to preach and to say," say it with me, "repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at the same thing. He and John said the same thing. But depending on what church you go to, there is no need to repent ever again. Because Christ died for your past sins, the sins you're committing now, the sins you're going to commit in the future. He's already died for it, so you don't need to repent. What's wrong with Christianity, ladies and gentlemen? Christianity teaches repentance. Christianity teaches repentance. And if John the Baptist, when he launched his ministry, said, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." Jesus, when he launched his ministry, says, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." That was the last verse I want to read, but I want to read something to you real quick. From the Amplified, John the Baptist, and saying, "Repent, think differently, change your mind, regret your sins, and change your conduct, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." Jesus says, "From that time Jesus began to preach, crying out, 'Repent, change your mind for the better, heartily amend your ways, with abhorrence of your past sins, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand.'" The Bible says that when you sin, you need to repent. Period. And see, that's what's wrong with Christianity. Christianity says that you repent when you sin. So, let's review real quickly. What's wrong with Christianity? Christianity teaches absolutes. Christianity teaches the Bible is the standard for living. Christianity teaches living a holy lifestyle. Christianity teaches total dependence upon the Lord. Christianity teaches Jesus is the only way to eternal life. Christianity teaches the world's way of thinking is ungodly. Christianity teaches homosexuality in all its forms is sin. And Christianity teaches you must repent. You must repent. As I said at the beginning, this message is really aimed at those in the body of Christ because so many of us, that's what's wrong with Christianity for us. Because we don't want to live by absolutes. We want to continue thinking the way the world thinks because it's more important to have friends in the world than to have God as your friend and our Father. I hope that you will take this piece of paper and not just ball it up in the trash can, that you will take it home, and if you don't look at it for a week or two, whatever the case may be, pull it out, read the scriptures again, because see, it's more about you knowing what the Bible says and then being able to share with someone else what you know and why you know it. And it's not about you getting into their faces and, this is what the Bible says, No. It's simply about, listen, you're my friend. I love you. But the Bible says what you're doing is wrong. It's just that easy. The Bible says what you're doing is wrong. And if the person says, "I don't care," fine. You have done your job. You have told them what the Bible said. You don't browbeat them. You don't argue with them. That's what it says. I still love you, but that's what it says. And you don't tell them, yeah, you don't agree with them, so you're going to hell. You don't tell them that. You have to leave the door open. You have to leave the door open so they can, you know, they can see that, well, you know what? He's different. She's different. She's telling what the Bible said, but she's not. They're not beating me up. You don't win people to Jesus by beating them up. You win people to Jesus by just being who you are and loving on them. And my prayer is that the message tonight just adds some information that you can use whenever you come in contact or face this situation. You know how to respond. There was a line, and it is well that I was thinking about tonight. And it says, let go my soul and trust in him. I think that for a lot of us, we are not totally at that place. But we need to say, listen, I'm going to trust in him. I don't care what comes. I'm going to trust in him. I don't care if people get upset with me. I'm going to trust in him. And I think that's where we have to be, ladies and gentlemen. Because I think that is exactly where the Lord is taking us.